Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Jeff Lavin of Get Awesome, and today we're going to be discussing influence marketing. Jeff is a snowboarder, surfer, and best-selling author of his book, Get Awesome Above and Beyond, Where Passions Meet Purpose. He's also an inspirational speaker and brand founder. Jeff specializes in helping businesses find their true north, charting a navigational direction, and recruiting and hiring a crew. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jeff.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I've got this awesome new background behind me. With technical difficulties and stuff like that, you just gotta keep on going.
Just gotta roll with it. So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're tuning in from Maine today. So tell us, what really gets you out of bed in the morning? What motivates and inspires you?
What motivates me is usually I wake up at 4 or 5 every day on when I'm out in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Living on the boat, doing the boat life, but I check the surf report. And when the surf report's really good, I'm out of bed in like, 5-10 seconds and getting ready as quickly as I can, throw on the hat and get moving and get grooving. Otherwise, if it's wintertime, same thing, throw on the hat. If there's a really good powder day or there's really good snow, because that's moving such a big part of how I start my day. Love getting it out of the way early, although it's always tricky to adjust to the further you go east, it's always tricky to adjust to that schedule. And then when I go back, I'll wake up at like 3 or, something like that. So,
right. So you're quite often moving back and forth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the lifestyle of a digital nomad. Forever I had a truck camper. So, I spent a lot of time, especially last couple of years, just traveling around and that's spending so cool. a lot of time off places in the grid, and unplugging, enjoying nature.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so how did you get into digital marketing originally?
Oh, geez, let's go back. So it all started with, one, I was a pro snowboarder. Two, I wanted to find other ways to promote myself. And there's a site called snowboard.com.
Yep.
And you guys probably, some people might know that, some people might not, but it was kind of cool because it was like LinkedIn meets Facebook meets all that. And then shortly afterwards, there was MySpace. that was back like when I was still kind of in my 20s and a household name. I think I had like 30 or 40,000 followers. So it was a way I saw it as a tool to like really connect with my sponsors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And connect with fans and stuff like that and just help really promote them, put the content out there, mm-hmm. Get more views and stuff like that because I wanted to get out of competing more into like being an editorial writer because you always see those guys when you say pro snowboarder, you see those guys that compete in Do Tour, X Games, Olympics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then there's those guys that ride big mountains in Alaska and go out there and take their snowmobiles out there and build some really sweet jumps and get to ride powder all the time. And I wanted to be that guy. So I had to figure out how could I, make the shortcut of being that guy without kind of pissing off my sponsors, still keeping my sponsor paychecks and, all the cool stuff you get with them. So I saw that as kind of a way to, help share that, but it was also a way to kind of like navigate and it was kind of a shortcut. So ran with it. And then shortly afterwards, I created my website, lavinsnow.com. Mm-hmm. Just as another resource out there for my sponsors. This is like 2005, 2006. Not a lot of guys out there have websites yet.
Yeah.
So I was one of the first, but, you know, like with anything professional sports, unfortunately it comes with injuries. So I blew out my, right ACL in February of 2006. Oh. And then I blew out my left ACL in December of 2006.
Oh my
gosh. They're, you know, and each of those injuries take about 6 to 7 months to come back from and stuff and whatnot, right? So there's some lost seasons and stuff there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to figure out other ways of how am I going to promote my sponsors so I could still continue getting paid. And I didn't want to go get, you know, one of those real jobs or, you know, I wasn't ready to go back to normal life yet. So I had to figure out, I had to figure out the hack around it. I had to figure out, you know, as we call them, like PR or anything else, like what's your angle? Like, how are you going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So I took my site, labandsnow.com. I got that domain again too. I'm really stoked.
Nice.
So I took that and I created this database. I started blogging. I started writing about all the cool things you could do in all these areas, you know, before, during, after, you know, all my favorite spots. And then people started reaching out and saying, hey, can you write about our spot? Can you talk about our spot? Right.
Oh, no way.
So we're, you know, it's early blogging.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I created essentially was a database of everything you could do in snow. Like, so we called it Action Sports 411. And,
Very cool.
It grew from snowboarding to skateboarding to surfing, BMX, moto. I had a lot of friends, you know, and, you know, just from having sponsors like Monster Energy, you know, like you start meeting people that, you know, do different sports and stuff like that. So you kind of have this mutual respect.
That's a very cool sponsor to have. That's huge.
Yeah, you just don't drink that stuff. You know,
they
give us, you know, here's what they do. They fill those cans full of water. And that's what you should drink.
That's hilarious.
They said don't drink one of those a week, but the paychecks were good and I was young and naive. Anyways, so, you know, utilizing that. So fast forward, as soon as I'm getting cleared to snowboard in 2007, I had a buyout offer from a competitor. And I said, oh, sweet. This is what I would have made snowboarding.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have negotiated it or something like that, but they just want the database. That's it. Something that I created.
That's so cool.
That was my first exit. You know, here I was like 25, 26. I'm like, yeah, I just exited a company. Cool.
That is so awesome.
I get to go snow. Really, I was just stoked that I got to go ride again.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, didn't want to be stuck in office. And it was kind of growing to the, like, just to the point where I didn't understand, like, systems, processes, human capital, and, like, you know, all the faucets and everything like that goes into business.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to, you know, be held down by something. I just wanted to be out there and be free. So it made sense. Probably should negotiate it a little bit more, but.
Yeah, hey, life lesson, right?
You live, learn. Learning experience.
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
Such a cool story. And then, so why did you start Get Awesome?
Well, Get Awesome, that goes back. That was a saying. People used to ask, like, I'd be dropping into a jump or something like that. They'd be like, what are you going to do? And usually most people's answers would be, I'm going to do a backside nine or a rodeo, you know, or a this or a that. And yeah, just looking, I'd be like, I'm just going to get awesome. Sometimes it's planned out in my head. Sometimes it's a little impromptu.
Yeah.
You know, and that was just kind of the style of riding. It goes back to like 10 years ago. It was just a thing. You know, we put it on a bunch of my snowboard brand, Why Me. We put it on a bunch of the bases, a bunch of the stuff, Get Awesome. And then it just kind of grew beyond that, you know, because the snowboarding brand didn't last forever. Times kind of made me have to shift. So Get Awesome was just really a way of sharing that mentality, but taking that towards, you know, the big three, especially the big three in entrepreneurial endeavors. So one, your mindset, and then you got to get awesome. You got to like have a solid mindset, two, your systems, three, your processes, and then breaking all that down and putting that into an awesome action plan.
Yeah. Great advice. I love that. So, what do you love most about running your business?
What I love most about, well, one, I don't run it because, so that's my secret sauce is, because I spent a lot of time working with a lot of like 6-7 figure entrepreneurs, or people are trying to scale to 6, businesses are trying to scale to 7. Mm-hmm. But you look at all those facets of business, of marketing, sales, fulfillment, administration, and then you go on. I'm a big analytical person, so I'll do what's called risk mitigation, disaster management, and diversify, because what killed my snowboard brand was ultimately that, that pandemic, we weren't ready for it, but I didn't want to see any other businesses ever have that problem again. So with that, with anything I work with, especially my business, I take a passive investment portfolio that we create. We create this for other companies where all their overhead is covered by the positive investments or the passive investments their company makes. So that way you can scale with data. You can scale and just focus on data, because you look at Amazon. Amazon's number one source of revenue. It's not the products. It's not this. It's not that. It's their data. And they sell their data. So yeah, that's so key.
Yeah.
So me, I love leadership. I love delegation. That's what I love about running the business and helping other people do is just saying, hey, you're the genius zone at this, so-and-so. So will you bring you in-house to do the marketing, in every marketing category, you know, you have your organic, paid, all that that goes down to that. Or, you know, you have your sales with appointment setting if you're service-based, or, your closers, or rep force if you're in product base, and then, you know, what are you creating for product or services? So looking into that, because I did, we used to do international trade there for a bit, product development, sourcing, engineering, design, all that.
Wow.
All the verticals in-house once, and that was the second company I exited from.
Okay, so cool.
So, you know, utilizing that knowledge and helping others, but also I just love the leadership aspect of it, and motivating and stoking out all those people, and just helping people grow where they want to grow, and meeting people, you know, in-house where they're at, and just having a really solid team and force behind this whole movement.
That's so cool. What are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
Challenges, that's a tough one. So, I mean, there's always challenges coming up. Sometimes it's, how do you prepare for the unexpected? Like, none of us were ever going to expect that we're going to be locked down for more than 2 weeks.
I know.
Know, 2 weeks, 2 years, who knows how long this goes on. So it's,
no one had a crisis plan put in place.
Nobody had a crisis plan for any of this. So it kind of makes us think and change and evolve. And, we're still figuring this thing out as we go. Like, nobody absolutely knows 100% of what this is, just because it's new territory.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we kind of go day to day, that's a major challenge, is just figuring out like what's going to happen next, and, you know, how do we mitigate the risk, and what's the disaster management plan in place for this, and how do we diversify, and how do we turn what could potentially be into a loss into a win?
Yeah, exactly. If you had one growth tip that you could share with other agency owners, what would that be?
Ooh, all right. So you're some of the five that surround you, right? Some of the five people, show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Ooh, so that's a good one.
Than, you know, talking about other stuff, other people, you know, all this, right? Surround yourself with people that like want to talk about personal growth, about business ideas, about other stuff, right? And within that, some of the five, I usually try and surround myself with somebody that's like the mentor. They're not going to tell me how to do it. They just have a blueprint or something I can kind of break down and follow. And usually they're older than me, well-versed and well-experienced. And they kind of look like Gandalf the Wizard or Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars. You know, like, we got the old gristle person. I look for those people that have the success, or that have that success, and I seek them out.
They're so valuable to have in your network.
Oh yeah, I can get so much further, you know, along with them. And then coaches, you know, like, coaches need coaches, or, you know, anybody out there, consultants need consultants, or so on. But like, have somebody that can get in your head. As an athlete, that was so important, of having that. And as, you know, an entrepreneur, as a CEO, not so much anymore as CEO, but as a business owner versus an operator, I still like to have that person in my corner, whether, you know, I'm working on something personally in my own life or something out there, you know, like, shoot, I even have the strength and conditioning coach once upon a time. So, I mean, specific, you know, coaches for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Look into that, man. That's like one of the best things to accelerate because they know your head. They know what to say to light you on fire. And the, you know, that I was speaking about before, the speak positive, but it'll also tell you how it is. And say, hey, I still love you anyways. So let's go get a beer, whatever, get a bite, coffee. And then people that cheer you on, the cheerleaders, because it's a rough, lonely world out there in the entrepreneur world. You grow your scale and the bigger you get, the lonelier you get, though, you know, having as much positive stuff behind you as you can.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, I love that. That's really cool that you've broken down the five different types of people to have in your network. That's really cool. So let's dive into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about influence marketing. So what does influence marketing mean to you?
Influence marketing, that was early on for me, right? As an athlete, you know, you're an influencer. This is before there was influencers. You had sponsors, right? But what did kids buy? You know, especially like you look at Sean White, what's he have? Everything has his name on it, right? With snowboarding.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the early influencing way and the early way to track what that person did and pay them based on that type of thing, right? And then we fast forward to, God, what was that, like 2006 or something like that? Fast forward to where we're at now, like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. A few more gray hairs down here. Hopefully not, just hit 40. Anyways, so influence marketing, it's a way to, you know, create, you have a following, you have people that buy from you, you have people, you have the network of the like, know, and trust, or know, like, and trust. You know, it's not just about, hey, I have 500,000 followers on Instagram, right? How many of those followers can you get to create conversions, right? And then from beyond there, what can you do to get that data profile to the partner that you're working with, to the brand that you're working with, or whoever you're collaborating with, service-based? Can you get that? So influence marketing, you know, they're, you know, the early steps on it, you know, it's just getting that brand awareness that you're working out or working together. And then from there, running a really kick-ass omnipresent paid, you know, paid media, you know, whether it's, you know, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, like just hitting it all across the board, but getting that email, that phone number, that, and then also doing that handshake share with the company. Also there's a little bit of PR in there as well too, you know, like you definitely need that because people are going to Google it. You know, you need that PR and those growth strategies. They all kind of work together and both your branding to be really kick-ass and on point.
Very cool.
Scale.
Awesome. Can you speak about the importance of great partnerships in business and how you educate your clients on this topic?
So partnerships, I've built whole entire business. Awesome. With partnerships, referrals, connections, and my Rolodex, right? Like show me, like I was saying earlier, show me your friends or show me your network. Your network is your net, right? So partnerships and how you work together and how you collaborate, it's really key, but also having those equal expectations from the get-go. Like what are your goals? Where do you both want to go? What do you both want the outcomes to be? And for how long, you know, duration of time. And the big thing is real small victories, they build up to, you know, really creating massive movements and all that.
Yeah, it's so true. Awesome. So can you talk about how you teach your clients to make the sale and build solid metrics from their campaigns you create for them?
Yeah, actually I can. And sometimes we even put those salespeople behind them, especially if they're service-based. I haven't done so much on the product-based side since my snowboard brand and helping out, you know, a few other brands do that as well. But you know, it's all about having your system, your sales system of, all right, this works, you know, your process and then your system. So what are you using for, you know, your software? What are you using for, let's say you're using Calendly, OneTub, Acuity Scheduler, you know, like how are those all working and connecting, and where are your touch points? We've audited calls and stuff like that as well too, or either that or bring in the sales master.
That's so cool.
A few people in my network where I bring them in to coach them how to close that, right? And they'll audit the calls. They'll go through that. They'll go through the process of, you know, following up the leads, doing outbound, like let's say you have the inbound leads or the outbound leads, or even doing your muffle touches. They'll bring in the team of appointment setters, pre-vet them as well as, you know, your closers.
And that's so cool, because a lot of marketing companies don't go that far. They go as far as getting the leads and then they just kind of drop off and there's a disconnect.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's all about helping them, you know, and that's one of the bigger things. You know, like I looked at, you know, last year, what did we really do? And I said, well, you know, I do marketing. I do a little bit of that. I'm a marketing nerd, but more than anything, I'm a rainmaker, AKA, you know, people say the, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. Well, that's kind of crap. You can kind of be the jack of all trades, not enough to be deadly, but enough to be dangerous. And it's having those people that are deadly around you to really make that happen. So it's really, you know, it's incumbent upon us, you know, as a growth consultant, just to go out there and really help them, help that marketing, help that sales, help everything. Go together like you're conducting the Philharmonic or the Boston Pops Symphony, and you're the conductor. You're Leonard Bernstein out there.
Yeah.
You know, conducting Rhapsody in Blue.
Yeah.
Everything has to mesh together.
Absolutely. And it's so rewarding, you know, when you just can help them make more sales and close more deals. That's, you know, that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we kind of work in a unique way where we're performance based. So, we just go based off annual revenue. So we've scaled a few companies out there in a couple of years there. They went from around 300,000 and we took them to 3 million. And
That's so cool.
Were able to exit. There's their goal to exit in 5, and they're able to exit in 3 years.
Wow, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
So what has been the biggest lesson you've learned while offering influence marketing as a service?
It's a new thing. It's new, and there's a lot of companies out there. It's influence. Either people had good experiences with it, with the word, or, you know, there's just a stigma behind it. They've had bad experiences with it. We've all got those emails out there. You ever get one of those Instagram DMs like, hey, DM me from some random account that
I've
says,
got so
hey,
many. Yeah.
DM me, bro. And it's somebody with like 2 followers and it's totally a fake bot account, right? And then it DMs you into that. That's where a lot of people have that bad stigma associated with influence marketing, or you get the emails where people are scraping lists and, you know, just it's from bad prospecting. We call that poopy prospecting, where people kind of reach out and they don't do it tactfully. They don't build. They don't build the know, like, or, you know, you don't have those, you definitely can't trust. So it's really just focusing on that, building the like, know, and trust, and then sharing with your partners that you have a like, know, and trust with your followers, with your networks, and with all that, and then connecting them. And it's, you know, in the positive light, it's telling the company's story, but it's telling the company's story through your experiences, through your eyes, through your point of view, and sharing that outwards with your followers to where it makes sense.
Yeah. So what are your goals for 2022?
For 2022, you know, unplug a little bit more, surf a little bit more, spend time, you know,
a little bit more balance.
Yeah, I have a big saying, don't take me away from, you know, the people I love and the things I love to do. And I think I did all right with that in 2021. 2022, just cross out the zero. 222, what you're going to do. There's some really cool repeating numbers with that. Mm-hmm. Just go out there and kick ass. So take what we're doing, you know, from influence marketing into growth consulting and really grow more. So it's my goal to have 7 more companies under our portfolio where we have vested interests in each other, and also help another 21 companies with their disaster management, diversification, and risk mitigation by putting a lot of really amazing passive investments to cover their entire overhead, helping them scale without fear.
Yeah, that's so cool. Do you guys have a 5-year plan?
5-year plan, well, actually, it's actually my one-year plan. By like 23, 24, I've been eyeing a bid for U.S. Congress. So
really?
The world needs more leadership. And, I don't agree with, and, you know, I'm pretty apolitical. I just don't agree with, you know, you got one side has this guy that's 70 something. The other side has this, you know, this guy that's 70 something. And you look at, you know, all the House, the Senate, all the leadership caucuses, they're all old and irrelevant, and they won't be around. And, you know, I hate to sound morbid, but they won't be around in 10 years.
No.
And they refuse to pass the torch. So it's, you know, here I am, kind of this generation where, you know, it's not going to be fixed in my lifetime. But it can be fixed in, you know, the next couple generations' lifetime. So it's just taking that torch, and then it's only a short run. So it's, for me, it'd be, you know, 4 or 5 year, it'd be a, you know, 2-term, 8 years max. And then from there, have that next generation ready to take that torch and go.
Yeah.
With my company though, working on a few more books. Adventurepreneur is going to come out this year. And that's just more about lifestyle of a digital nomad. Some fun stories in there, ways to create laptop lifestyle revenue streams, and how to be free range humans. For this company though, I want to see it keep going, and you know, just really build a solid leadership behind it. You know, with our executive team, you know, expanding that, helping other companies grow, and, you know, having a bigger ownership portfolio. And then we're in the process of starting our own private bank.
No way.
A private bank or a, you know, a fund, just to help these businesses, because you know, if we suggest JP Morgan Chase or Wells Fargo, you know, we don't own that stage. With this, we'll own that stage. And you know, not only be beneficial to us, but it'll be beneficial to our clients and a lot of other businesses out there. And we're going to create a side fund that's specific just for small, medium-sized businesses, where we can grow their revenue on a bad year, 25%, on a good year, 35%. And we're projected a little bit higher than that. So
that's so cool. Yeah. You've got some pretty incredible ambitions, and I'm really excited to see where you're going to head with those.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you just got to keep one foot in front of the other, and
yeah,
you know, a lot of stuff interests me, and shoot, it's,
you got to just go for it.
Yeah. You just got to go with it. You know, the one thing I've always learned too is, invest in your hobbies. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like golf, like hire a trainer, like go spend some time. If you want to get in better shape, hire a personal trainer. If you want to read something or take a course. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a hobby and it's not going to make you any money,
like, yeah, just do
it because you love it. And you never know what where your passions can take you.
Yeah, it's so true.
I mean, I never thought I'd be pro snowboarder, the kid that grew up on garbage dumps in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But you know, I had a good run. I saw the whole world on my board.
That's so awesome. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
All right. So this one, you're going to laugh. Everybody's usually like, yeah, 10X or, you know, something like that. So there's one, I'm working towards a captain's license, maritime captain's license.
Okay.
So it's a maritime manual. for 25 ton and under, you know, that's towing endorsement, all that stuff. But I'm learning, you know, more about rigging and, you know, maritime laws and stuff like that. But
yeah,
you know, this last year it's made an impact on me just because I got really into boating and restoring boats.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Having lots of hobbies is key. Like it just like diversifies your mind so much. And yeah, I love that. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Morning routine, it's 7 a.m. Well, up usually before dawn. Mm-hmm. So whatever time that is. Lately in the West Coast, it's like 6:51 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I'm usually up by, you know, 6. Sometimes 4, depending, you know, I'm getting older. So got to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and check the surf report. surf report's really good. I'm out there before dawn, catching that sunrise. Paddling out. It's so spiritual. Either that or, you know, if I'm in a winter spot, I usually try and get out and split board, go out there for, you know, some of the early morning turns. It hasn't been really good lately. So I, you know, I've been taking this last month or so, the last, you know, for the holidays and stuff like that, mm-hmm. just recharging, sleeping in a little bit more and all that.
Yeah.
You know, we all have a rhythm and flow. So this is kind of like my rest and recharge period, but usually I'm just go, go, go. So 7 to 9, it's surf or snowboard. Mm-hmm. And then 9 to 11, it's, you know, calls and stuff like that, business stuff, a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. 11 to 1, sometimes there's a bike ride if I'm in warm weather. Mm-hmm. Or a hike or something fun. And
yeah.
Then, you know, 1 o'clock onward, it's just kind of being more reactive and stuff like that. And, you know, taking stuff or, you know, as my teams have any questions or anything like that, you know, helping them out as need be.
Very cool. So you got that really good balance there of being active and then running the business.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have to have that. I mean,
yeah,
you have to have that break and that disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, that whole grind hustle mentality, it's cool, but you're going to burn yourself out.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And you don't get that mid-afternoon slump whenever you're active.
Yeah,
it's like, but such a good way to boost your productivity.
But I figure out all my problems, you know, like either when I'm, you know, on a long trip driving or flying or boating, mm-hmm. In the shower or being physically active. If
yep.
there's something there, it just comes to me, you know, versus sitting in front of the desk, in front of the computer, just trying to figure out how to work through it. Sometimes you just got to take your mind off stuff and it'll come to you when you least expect it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Everybody. I mean, come on, Mr. Tesla, SpaceX, Iron Man. He was modeled after him. Elon Musk. I mean, what's not to be fascinated about?
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah, I agree. What is your favorite online tool?
Right now, you know, I'd have to say I love CRMs and stuff like that, mm-hmm. or anything that makes me organized. But
yeah,
I'll just, the most simplest one, I like G Suite.
Yeah, it's so powerful.
You have like everything integrated. I mean, I could say all the different landing pages out there, all that stuff, but really it's just G Suite because that integrates with almost everything out there.
Yeah.
You have your calendar in there, you know, integrates with your phone,
yeah.
Phone, computer, all that. You have your drive, you have everything in one area and
yeah.
it's super simple.
Yeah, we use
Microsoft.
Yeah, we use HubSpot for our CRM, and they integrate with the Gmail as well, which is super handy. So yeah,
oh, yeah.
I love G Suite.
HubSpot's a great one. That's usually right up there with ActiveCampaign. Mm-hmm. But we're a real CRM, not apolitical, but you know, we're ACRMic. You know, like we're not saying you have to go with this one, you have to go with that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyota. Don't buy what you like, buy what you like to work on or what your team likes to work on or work with.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's true. And yeah. Then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Ooh, you know what? Here's a good one. Divorce results, trust in, fall in love with, and marry the process. Because it ain't the destination, it's the path you take. And it's about embracing that journey. And within that journey, there's no such thing as success or failure. There's really just only the collection and simulation and adjustment, reacting and responding, reacting, internalizing, responding, externalizing the data. If you're alive, you're a success.
Yeah. That's, I think, one of the best answers I've got on this show. That's really good.
Wow. Thanks.
That was a good one. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jeff. It was really great to pick your brain and learn more about you and your business. So I really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure, Julie.